Welcome to the Zillionaire Superstars podcast show with Angie Z. I'm a mindset coach, host of Zillionaire Superstars podcast show, and designer of Zillionaire Creations, entrepreneurial clothing line. I know the road to evolution starts with understanding the power of your mind. The problem isn't with what you're doing, it is how you're thinking. The Zillionaire Superstar podcast show shares with you the mindset tools and techniques used by successful entrepreneurs and business owners that created their level of success today, and shares how you can also do the same. Welcome to Zillionaire Superstars with Angie Z. I'm super excited to introduce to you today my guest, Jordan Candlish. He is the founder of State Shifters. Jordan helps growth-minded professionals raise their standards so they can find inner peace and build a life around their purpose. Welcome, Jordan. Great to have you on the show.
And it's an absolute pleasure to be on the show with you. Thank you so much for bringing me on.
A pleasure. Absolute pleasure. Now, before we get started, I'd love to help the audience get to know you a little bit better. Are you open to that?
100%, mate. I'm an open book.
Love it. All right. First thing, what do you do?
I've been a full-time coach for the past 6 months. I coach people mainly around uncovering what the emotional blocks are that are getting in their way of really living the life they came here to live, which for me is uncovering your uniqueness, finding your purpose, and expressing that to the world. So I've been doing that for 6 months. I work mainly one-on-one with people. I'm out here in Perth, Western Australia, my hometown. I've just come back from living in Toronto for the past 2 years, which is an amazing experience. In my past life, I was an accountant. I studied finance and accounting at school and worked at Deloitte for a couple of years. Soon decided that kind of path wasn't for me, and I kind of wanted to pursue things that more aligned with my passions around health and wellness.
Beautiful. I love it. So you actually answered two of my questions instead of just one. So that works. I was going to say, where do you live? But you told us.
I'm a Perth local. I've since traveling away from Perth, I've found so much gratitude for my home here in Western Australia. I'm so blessed to be able to grow up here, and it has everything for me. I love the ocean, I love the weather, I love the people, so I'm just blessed. Yeah, really grateful to be home.
It is a great place, I got to say. I travelled there quite a bit a few years back, and I just really enjoyed my time there. I love it. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, especially.
It's awesome. And they've really revamped it, particularly in the city. Lots of new restaurants and cafes. It's so much, you know, more modern even than when I was there. It's really cool. Yeah.
Still a sleepy town compared to the likes of Melbourne and Sydney, but Perth's starting to come up.
Yeah, definitely. Lots of new property developments as well in your area. Yeah.
Yep.
100%. Okay. Favorite book or podcast?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, I've got a few favorite books. I went through a big period of learning and growth where I was like reading all kinds of books from spirituality, personal growth, and business. My favorite, can I give you three, Ange?
Yeah, totally. Go for it.
I would say the book that impacted my life the most at the time I read it was A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle.
Yes.
One of my second favorites would be, that I recommend the most, is Letting Go by David Hawkins. My third would be, I would say my third would probably be The Untethered Soul by Michael A. Singer.
Oh my God, I love that book. That's a great reminder to reread that. That is, oh my God, that just, yeah, I got goosebumps when you said that. It's sensational. Yeah, definitely.
Audio versions are good. The audio book is really, really good.
Cool. Yeah. And Letting Go, I haven't heard of that one actually, so that sounds interesting as well.
Yeah. I think you'll really like that one. It's a great book.
Good too.
You said podcast as well.
I did.
Favorite podcast.
Apart from your own, obviously.
I would say I like Aubrey Marcus's podcast. I listen to his probably the most. Yeah.
Cool. I haven't checked him out yet, actually, his podcast. I've seen some of his stuff, but I haven't checked out his podcast, so that's cool. Oh, actually, do you know Melissa Ambrosini?
The name sounds familiar.
Yeah, you probably would if you saw her. Yeah. She's like a self-love coach. She's amazing. She's written books and she's got her own podcast. Anyway, she had him on and I did listen to some of that as well. So, yeah, he sounds like a pretty cool guy.
He is. Yeah, he is.
All right.
I can relate.
Favourite charity?
I'm a big fan of Oxfam. Oxfam Australia. I don't know if you're familiar with Oxfam.
I am. Yeah.
A few years ago, I participated in their trail walk, which they did out here in the hills of Perth, walked 50 kilometres for charity. I was actually at Deloitte at the time, so I did it a part of that. We had a team. We walked 50Ks. It almost killed me, but I was very happy with the contribution that Oxfam made, and I really enjoyed being a part of that event. So, yeah, I support Oxfam.
Oh, it would have felt amazing once you reached that finish line. 50Ks, that's not bad.
To be honest, it's one of the most challenging things I've ever done. So
really?
I'll never forget it, yeah.
Wow.
It took us 12 hours. We walked 50Ks.
God, 12 hours. God, that sounds even longer.
Yeah. Well, that was only half. Most people did 100. 100K was the original.
Wow. 100K oh, really? That's impressive. I can do 20Ks a day, but wow, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
It's very cool. All right, tell us your daily success ritual.
Daily success ritual for me would be as soon as I wake up, I do some light movement, and then I will spend anywhere between an hour to 2 hours in meditation. And then I will have a cold shower and then make myself a nice coffee where I'll blend it with some grass-fed ghee, some medicinal mushrooms like lion's mane, and then some cacao, and I'm off to the races.
Holy dooly, that is some impressive daily ritual. You must feel incredible.
I do. Yeah, I really do.
Wow. People take notes, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We haven't even got into it yet, Jordan. This is getting interesting. Seriously. So tell us, how did you actually get involved in this work? Like, what was there an event, or did something trigger it, or was it, you know, experiences that you've had? Like, what drives you to be in this field?
I would say it probably started off when I was growing up. I was around one of my best friends. His mum was into personal development. She was passing down books from people like Wayne Dyer and Deepak Chopra. So I started reading this stuff while I was sort of kind of growing through high school, learning how to kind of manage my emotions a little bit. I remember my first breakup was really challenging for me, kind of resulted in me looking for alternative ways to handle my emotions. And then sort of when I began my corporate job, I kind of realized that I'd chosen a path that was completely out of alignment with my heart. Like, it was sort of, I just followed the notion of, you know, money meant success, and if you go to school and get a good job and make lots of money, you're good. And I just felt real empty. I felt real disconnected from my purpose, and that really sparked this fire in me to try and figure out what impact I was here to make. That really just pulled me into like learning, listening, watching all kinds of videos from people who I admired, like all kinds of podcasts and books, and just trying to figure out what it was that was going to make me happy. Like, what was I here to do? And once I realized that happiness is something that, you know, we can find and cultivate in each and every moment, no job can make you happy, no person can make you happy. It's something we have to figure out on the inside. Once I figured that out, then I had the courage to kind of quit my corporate job and fly out to Canada and pursue a career in health and wellness, and just kind of follow my intuition from there on. And I spent a year working at a healing clinic in Toronto where we use frequency technology to help people heal naturally. And then I spent another year working at a meditation studio where I led their corporate program. So we went out to organizations and spoke about mindfulness and how companies could incorporate mindfulness into their workday and things like that. So, yeah, it was an amazing journey.
I know, isn't it amazing how we've all shifted in this sense? Like before, if you talked about this sort of thing, like you'd be seen as weird or strange or like, what on earth are you doing? But now it's becoming more commonplace and corporate organisations are investing in these programs for their people because it works.
Definitely. Yeah, 100%. And, so, and I remember how much of an impact it had when I was at my corporate job, when I started to meditate and kind of take care of my internal world before showing up at work. I could better handle like situations. I could better handle like the things that came at me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So tell us for you personally, because I know from my own experience how powerful it is. And, you know, I work with a lot of clients and help them to engage in a meditation practice as well. No matter, you know, don't worry so much about the time. It's more doing it. But tell us about what changed for you as a result of meditation.
Yeah, the first massive change for me was the ability to slow my mind down enough to be able to connect back with my heart and my body in a way that gave me insights into, you know, like what my intuition or what felt good for me. For the first time I started to connect with, you know, thoughts that were mine and not conditioned, not thoughts that were coming from conditioning from parents or friends or schooling. I started to finally get a taste for my own inner voice. So that was the first real benefit that I got. And later on, now that I spend a lot of time in meditation, I do that because it conserves so much energy. Like, it really charges me up with gratitude and energy to be able to show up fully for my clients, show up fully for my girlfriend and my family. Because if you don't take care of your energy, if you don't take care of yourself first, then you're not going to be able to serve at your best. You'll get drained and your energy will get zapped.
So very true.
Yeah, I'm sure you've probably experienced something similar to that as well.
Yeah, well, I find it really calms your mind, like you said, it's because it's slowing your mind down. And it's just such an amazing experience when you're able to get in the flow, because I actually receive messages as a result of meditation when I'm in the flow of it, which is just a game changer for me. That's probably one of the reasons I love to do it so much, is to get to that state.
What messages do you receive?
Just general like life messages. So, you know, it could be as simple as which direction to take or what to do that day. It's just very simplistic, but it's very helpful. So I find that really valuable because it's a very clear message that comes through. And so I follow that, which is great. And I also find that it helps you to make better decisions and it helps you to control those emotions. So I find that I'm able to be in a much more balanced state than I would normally. If I don't do meditation, I can be a bit more anxious or, you know, that go, 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 busy, busy, busy type of mindset. Whereas when I'm when I've meditated and had a good session in that, I find that I actually know that I'm able to successfully achieve everything I want to that day, and there I have no anxiety around it. So, yeah, it's quite different states, I would say. That's why it's, such an amazing tool for me. But let's go back to you doing that work in Toronto. So for the audience who, you know, may not have heard of frequency healing, can you just tell us a little bit about what that does, how that helps people?
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure most people who are listening to this are probably aware of the fact that, like, all we are is energy, right? We're a waveform experiencing consciousness. So we're energetic beings, and every emotion has an energetic charge to it, right? Lower emotions have a lower frequency, higher emotions such as gratitude, appreciation, kindness, love. Anything deriving from love is a higher frequency. And what most people don't realize is most illness comes from imbalance within the body. Mm-hmm. Imbalance meaning we're hanging on to emotions that affect our body's ability to heal itself. And we call that state of being able to heal itself coherence, when the mind and body are in sync and the body's in an optimal place where it can flow. We feel good. But what often happens is we have external stresses that throw us out of this balance. And when we don't know how to process our emotions, it affects our energy and affects our health.
Mm-hmm.
So at this clinic, we gave people an opportunity to experience the state of coherence, which is, like I said, it's a measurable state. It's 0.1 hertz frequency. And we used technology that put a healthy frequency into the body to allow the body to reach that state of coherence where people could heal themselves naturally from things. Like, we had a bunch of cancer patients in there that were having some tremendous results. We're having people suffering from fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, depression, anxiety, all kinds of illnesses and emotional illnesses. Jumping on these devices, the main form of frequency with pulse electromagnetic field therapy, which is really cool. Like, these fancy devices that really allowed you to just relax and get into that nice coherent flow. And it was really amazing to get to experience. And I got to meet so many different people and learn so much during that time that it was really my dream to go from like a corporate job to working in a healing clinic. Was real cool.
Yeah, that it sounds very rewarding type of work as well, to know that you're helping people in that way.
Yeah,
absolutely. So you're still doing that, but in a different way back in WA. So you have a brand new program, Purpose by Design, the Accelerator Program. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I like how you said still doing that in a different way. You're dead right. I think it's I've realized that working with things on an emotional level is really the key to, you know, attaining the life that we want, which is to feel good, to feel those elevated emotional states. And I realize that the main distinction between people who are prepared to go in and face their emotions and process sometimes the painful emotions that get in the way of us feeling these elevated states is having a purpose, is having a reason why. Like, why is it important for us to get up and meditate every single day and do these practices? And I realized purpose is the driving force behind everything. Like, if your why is strong enough, you'll overcome anyhow. And I sort of went to work designing a program that helps people or helps someone discover what their purpose is. You know, going inside and working out your purpose from the inside out, because most people think purpose is, okay, that's the impact that we have on the world. Okay, how do we, say, solve world hunger or whatever? But they might think that's purpose. But we can't discover our external purpose until we realize what our internal purpose is. Mm-hmm. Our internal purpose is to make peace and accept whatever circumstances this moment presents to us.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not always fun. Sometimes there's some pain involved in that. So my program is really designed to help people kind of understand, develop the tools, develop the awareness to acknowledge their primary purpose, which is this moment, but then also gain the tools, skills, awareness, and energy to eventually go out and make an impact on the world through their secondary purpose.
So you talked a lot about processing emotions. So what happens to people when they don't do that? They do the opposite. They don't process it. They'll either numb themselves or just try and, you know, forget about it and bury it, so to speak. What actually happens to the body when people do things like that?
Yeah, it's interesting, because most people, when they get sick or experience illness, they deal with it from a physical level. They're going to see a doctor. The doctor will be like, hey, take these drugs, or, you know, like, and they'll try and fix the symptom, but never actually get to the cause. And cancer is such a prominent example of this, is dealing with the symptom, which is the cancerous cells. We nuke them with chemotherapy, but not enough people, when they get cancer, go into, okay, what's causing it? Maybe there's a buildup of, you know, anger and resentment and shame and unworthiness beneath the surface here that we've been carrying around for our whole life, that from a traumatic event that happened in our childhood, or someone left us when we were a kid. And if those emotions don't get processed, acknowledged, you know, given permission to be seen, then what happens is it's like an energy gets lodged in the body that prevents the body from functioning effectively.
Mm.
And wherever these energies or emotions are lodged, there's a corresponding, you know, center that associates with the functionality of certain organs, muscles, and cells. So whenever we get sick, you can kind of pin it down to an emotion that we're often holding on to that's putting our body into a state of stress.
Wow, that's pretty major, right? Especially when you're talking about things like cancer.
Yeah, big time. I'm very passionate and understanding of this topic, because one of my good friends and the founder of the healing clinic Bob Berman, his wife passed away of cancer, and the reason why he started that clinic was he was in pursuit of trying to find alternatives for her cancer treatment.
Right.
And he used to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
And transferred law practice into a healing clinic because he wanted more people to have access to these kind of treatments.
Wow.
Because chemotherapy just wasn't working. So
yeah,
I spent a lot of time. I learned a lot about, you know, all these different healing modalities, natural healing modalities. So I'm always an advocate for taking the natural route first.
So would you say that that explains the statement on your Insta account, there is purpose in your pain?
Mm. Yeah, you've done your research, Anne. Checking out my photos. I do truly believe that. I think if you look back on every painful or traumatic experience that you've had in your life, you realize that there was a reason for it. Like it taught you something, right? That was a lesson we took from it.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it can be hard to see that in the moment. Do you know what I mean? When you're going through the pain
and something
really bad has happened.
Yep.
But having that faith and trust that there is a reason behind this. There is a purpose greater than what we can maybe see in this moment. But having that faith and trust allows you to kind of see things through the lens of there's an opportunity here. Life has given me an opportunity to grow and evolve in a new way. So I choose to interpret pain as an opportunity.
Yeah.
Growth.
I love that. And it's so true. When you're knee deep in pain, there's no way that you're really seeing the lessons and blessings that come out. It's only after and, you know, having given it some thought and have the understanding that you go, oh, okay, that was the reason that happened. Because, you know, when you're in pain or you're angry or you're upset, you're not really thinking clearly anyway. So it's always more beneficial at the end. So tell us, one of the habits that you believe keeps people stuck.
That's a good one. Yeah. There's a bunch of habits that keep people stuck. But I would say the main one is the high level and low level coping mechanisms that our minds adopt to keep us distracted from having to go in and feel our feelings.
Oh.
And I guess I can elaborate more on what high level and low level coping mechanisms are.
Yep.
Low level coping mechanisms would be the habits that are detrimental to our health.
Mm-hmm.
E.g., drinking alcohol, smoking, drugs, eating bad food, binge watching TV shows, gossiping with friends, going out on weekends. These are like the low level habits that just really aren't good for our health and are mainly just distractions.
Yeah.
Coping mechanisms. The high level coping mechanisms would be things such as going to the gym, getting addicted to working out because it distracts you from having to feel some emotional pain you're going through.
Mm.
Now, you know, I love going to the gym. I go to the gym all the time, but it becomes an unhealthy habit if your health's coming at a cost because that's your way of coping with some emotional trauma because the gym's like a drug.
Yep.
Another example might be, you know, you're kind of obsessed with like having eaten the best foods all the time and you have to eat healthy, and if you don't, you're in a shit mood. It's like this obsession with being healthy sometimes gets in the way of us just enjoying life.
So
the coping mechanisms are habits that keep us stuck because true growth comes when we are willing to go in and face some of the challenging emotions or the painful emotions that ultimately hold the lessons for the next level of our expansion and evolution. So, usually, you know, acknowledging whatever it is we're most afraid of behind that often holds the key to our next level and our growth. And that fear is usually covered up by a habit of thinking, a habit of something that distracts us from having to acknowledge that fear.
Yeah, which makes sense. So in essence, we're all doing this every day in some way, shape or form, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, whether they're high level or low level, doesn't matter. The point is that you're not really looking within and you're not feeling what you want to be feeling, like in terms of connecting with your emotions and processing them, understanding them. So what's an activity people can do to tap into that?
Yeah, so I like to separate out the activities or practices or habits into kind of three buckets, mind, body, soul, mental, physical, and emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your physical practices, which is, you know, anything movement related, that's where you've got exercise, you've got, you know, things that get the blood flowing. Movement's important. We've got to move the body, right?
Yeah.
So that's key for energy. Another bucket would be the emotional stuff. Mm-hmm. So the emotional practices, this is where we're talking about dealing with emotions, processing our emotions. And this is where I feel most people get stuck. They don't have a practice or a process in place that allows them to process their emotions.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
These practices for me fall under the category of meditation, yoga, breath work, spending time in nature, sound healing, different healing modalities like the frequency technology that I mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
But the key part of that is you have to go deep. Like, you can't sit in meditation for 10 minutes and expect to be able to heal your trauma.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you kind of got to be willing to go deep with some of these practices. Same deal with yoga. You can't do 20 minutes of yoga and expect to let go of a bunch of shame from your childhood. You have to be prepared to go real deep and spend time being with these parts of you, going mm-hmm. into the subconscious. And then the final component is the mental. And I call the mental like the mindfulness practices. And for me, that can be as simple as, you know, going for a walk in the evening, no rush, just going for a nice slow walk, not listening to anything, putting my phone away. Another practice might be creating little triggers around your day to become more mindful of what it is you're feeling, what it is you're thinking. Just becoming more present in general,
and yeah.
incorporate mindfulness. Really, that's been a big lesson for me since I've been in this lockdown period, is incorporating a nice balance of physical, mental, and emotional practices.
Beautiful. I love that. I love the three buckets. Well said. Yeah, really nice way to look at it. So a lot of people do struggle with, you know, not just processing their emotions, but also sometimes that self-acceptance and loving themselves. And, you know, it's funny, when you ask the question, people don't even know what it means. So they can't even tell you how to, like, what does that actually mean? So with the people that you work with, what do you find are the most effective ways that people can understand this practice?
Yeah, self-acceptance is a big one. We often judge a lot of the experiences or emotions that we're feeling, right? We judge, you know, anxiety, depression, shame, abandonment. We judge all these emotions as bad. Like, this is not good. I don't want to experience this. And that judgment in and of itself kind of keeps us stuck. It keeps the emotion down there.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to, like, acknowledging the, you know, the purpose behind these emotions, we kind of got to give ourselves permission to be okay feeling them. Like, if we're angry, cool, acknowledge that. So I'm pissed right now. I'm going to go to the gym and just, like, get some of this anger out.
Yeah.
And then underneath the anger, maybe there's some fear.
Mm.
And maybe there's some unworthiness. But you can't skip beyond the anger. You can't skip beyond the guilt. We have to give a voice to that anger, give a voice to the guilt, obviously in a healthy way, without, like, you know, harming others or anyone, anything like that. But to me, self-acceptance is acknowledging, okay, whatever I'm feeling right now is exactly what I need to feel.
Yeah.
That there's a reason why I'm feeling this.
Yeah.
And not to deny what it is that we're feeling. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I certainly do.
The worst thing you can say to someone who's angry is, yo, dude, settle down. Get over it.
Yeah.
Chill out.
Oh, yes.
It's not validating someone's emotions.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, you're just fueling the fire, so to speak.
Exactly. But if you said to someone, dude, I understand why you're angry.
Yeah.
I get it. I feel you, man. I know that would have pissed me off as well. It's okay.
Mm.
You can. I'm here for you. Let it out.
Yeah.
Completely different story.
Mm. Yes. Mm. People take note. Don't say that to an angry person.
No.
Especially now, I think, you know, emotions are more elevated and heightened.
Yeah, exactly.
You're good or bad. Yeah.
We have to be accepting that people are going through a lot of their own shit, right? We have to be accepting of that.
Totally. So you mm-hmm. talked a little bit about inner peace. Now, again, this is sometimes a concept that people may not have feel that they have felt in a long time, or they may struggle to attain inner peace, so to speak. So what does inner peace mean to you?
Yeah, inner peace for me is sort of where I'm at a state of complete acceptance for where I am in my life, what I've created for in my life, and taking full responsibility for everything that's happening to me. And when you take full responsibility for your life, meaning, like, I'm responsible for everything that's happening around me, meaning, you know, the life that I've created, it gives you a power back to know that you get to choose in any moment how you respond or react to mm-hmm. situations going on around you.
Yes.
And that's the only thing we ultimately have control of.
Mm-hmm.
So when we take responsibility for that, you know, how we choose to respond, how we react, I find peace in the fact that, you know, I'm going to experience shitty emotions. You know, life isn't going to always go the way I want it to.
Yeah.
And when I know that that's the case, and I equip myself with the tools and the awareness to surrender and let go and just trust, that brings peace to me. Mm-hmm. And I prioritize that every single day through my practices.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You can tell you're living, breathing all of what we're talking about tonight, which I love. Mm-hmm. And particularly right now, right, I mean, I think that's can be sometimes very challenging for people in the fact that, you know, perhaps they don't want to fully accept where they are at right now, you know, depending on their circumstances, obviously. But that in itself could be a challenge, let alone you feeling that inner peace and contentment.
Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. Right now it's challenging a lot of us, right? Because all of this is out of our control. Like everything it's been a great reminder for all of us of how out of control life is.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Everyone that had holiday plans, everyone that had wedding plans we don't have control of, we don't even know what's happening tomorrow.
Mm.
And the sooner we can come to terms with that and accept and acknowledge that's life, that's how life works.
Yes.
There's a greater purpose behind all of this that we can't see, our minds can't see. And surrendering to that brings an immense amount of peace.
Mm. And just on that note, actually, for you personally, what have you found like are some of the blessings that have come out of our situation we find ourselves in now?
Well, for me personally, the blessing has been slowing down. Like I'm a big advocate for like slowing things down. You know, there's no rush. Where are we rushing to try and get to? And I remember when I was living in Toronto in the city, it's like everything's on fast forward. Everyone's walking fast. Everyone's getting, you know, driving fast. It was like, where are we in a rush to get to here?
Mm.
And it seems like every big city's like that. You know, we've got to grow. We've got to expand. We've got to make more money. And now we've all been forced to slow down and realize that, you know, wait a second, like the most important things in life are actually right in front of us. What's happening right now?
Yes.
And if you rush past them, you miss the joy and the simplicity. Being mm-hmm. with your friends, your family, looking out in nature, just going for a nice walk. Like, I don't know, I think it's kind of been a blessing for me to be back in Perth during this time and just getting to, again, appreciate the simple things.
Yeah.
I love going to the beach. I love being out in nature. I just realized I don't need a lot of money to be happy, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's powerful.
What about you? What are the lessons you've learned throughout this?
A bit like you, to be super appreciative of everything that you have in your life, focusing more on relationships and really spending more quality time with people, not obviously face-to-face, but, you know, whether it's just texting someone or calling someone, so just developing closer relationships has been really important during this time as well. And, yeah, I think getting back to basics and realise what is important. And getting back to basics in terms of, you know, you think about it, you can't go to the gym. So if you're an addict, you have to live with that right now. You know, it's stuff like that. So it is literally like going down the park and do body weight exercises, adapting, being flexible. And that's probably one of the biggest things as well. Like I feel like I do that already, but I think that's opened me up much more to be able to do that. And I think that's an important skill to be able to have in life as well. And the importance of family and doing what you love every day. I think those are the biggest blessings that I've found during this time.
Yeah, good point. I will add to that, Ange, is sort of the ability to adapt and pivot in new ways. Like you said, you know, we don't go to the gym. Okay, how are we gonna pivot? How are we gonna adapt here?
Yeah.
You know, how are we gonna find new ways of working out? You know, it's an opportunity for all of us to know that we have that ability. You know, we can shift things up. Like, you know, how do we handle uncertainty? It's
a
key skill.
think about the way people work at the moment, you know, going into big offices, you know, for many people, you know, not everyone, obviously. And then this is the first time they've worked from home. And now they're saying like, oh, I don't want to go back to the office. And offices are having to, you know, rethink about their strategy moving forward, if they want a big office anymore, if they're going to downsize, if they're going to have everyone like Twitter working from home, you know, Google, those types of places. I mean, how will the world look? And also what that opens up for us is the ultimate freedom for those in that position to be able to move to wherever they want, because they can work from wherever they want. You can move to the country. You can move to a beachside suburb. Like, it opens up so many more opportunities for people to live a life that they truly want to live. And I think that's amazing.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally agree.
All right. Okay. So let's talk about how people can find you. What's the best way, Jordan?
I would say Instagram is my main platform, and my handle is at stateshifters. That's STATE shifters. And on Facebook, Jordan Cownlish, LinkedIn, Jordan Cownlish. But I would say I'm most active on Instagram. I love having conversations with people. And so if anyone resonates with what we're talking about, feel free to hit me up.
Oh, totally. And seriously, it is a must that you check out Jordan's Instagram. If you do one thing from this episode, it's checking out his Instagram. It's incredible. It's one of my favorite accounts. It was awesome having you on the show, Jordan. We wish you all the very best.
Thanks, Ange. I really appreciate it. I've had a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Zillionaire Superstars podcast show. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We'd love to hear your comments and reviews, so please leave a review on iTunes. For further information, visit angelinazimmerman.com, and I can't wait to catch up with you next time.